And I'm just so blessed by Susan and the team and Greg and those people that just work so hard to make sure that we practice an abundance of caution, but an abundance of faith. Hallelujah. And we just had a wonderful service on Sunday, Palm Sunday. Monday, Thursday, our prayer ministry team put that together on their own with some of the help from the pastors. And it was just a powerful time of prayer and reflection. And then Good Friday, friends. What a strong opportunity for us to quiet ourselves before the Lord, to be humbled in the midst of all of the pain and suffering Christ went through for us. So let's start there. Let's pick it up on Good Friday. Friends, Friday was a dark day. And the perception of the Messiah who came to be the hope of the world was now dead on the cross. He was removed from the cross and thrown into a tomb. And that tomb had a stone that was rolled into the place. And if you ever visit over to the Middle Eastern areas and walk the path of Christ and other biblical folk, you'll notice that those stones are put in a trench. And they're rolled through the trench. And then when they're in front of the tomb, they're actually seated in front of the tomb. It falls into a groove. No human being can lift out or remove, friends. And Christ was in the grave. And in Matthew 27, we see what happens in the depiction of that. And from noon until 3 PM, darkness came over the land. It was a desperate time. What seemed hopeful was now gone, friends. Expectations and desires of being saved was now lost. And that same crowd that, 5 days earlier had cried, "Hosanna, save us now," they were the ones that shouted, "Crucify him," and eventually put him on the cross as the religious leaders stirred them up and Pilate washed his hands. Oh, friends, we just saw all kinds of pain and struggle in those final 24 hours where Judas betrays Jesus for just a small sum of money. And in the point of that, he even takes his own life, just tragedy. Peter himself, who eventually would become the rock on which Christ builds his church, denies Jesus 3 times. And the rest of the disciples abandon Jesus in his hour and time of need, and they're all stowed away in hiding in the upper room. There is a thick cloud of darkness in the form of confusion and discouragement and shock that fell over the land. You see, friends, seemingly hope had died with Jesus in the minds of followers and believers. Can you imagine what the next morning was like? The day after, Saturday morning? I could picture the disciples waking up, hoping it was all just a bad dream, pinching themselves and rubbing their eyes as they were faced with settling into a new and painful reality. Friends, it's the day after, and some of you might be familiar with the day after. Maybe you've had some day afters. It's the day after you hear the word divorce, or it's the day after you heard the word cancer, or now that they're gone, it's the day after you were furloughed from your job. It was the day after the accident, or the day after the mistake that you made, or the day after the pregnancy that was lost. It's a dark moment where expectations of hope were dashed, and now you find yourself waking up grasping for strength as you're forced to step forward into a new and unfamiliar path of life. It can be a scary place, a painful place, and sometimes, like the disciples, a place we'd like to hide from and steal away from. Now, friends, I remember in 2004, Aaron was pregnant with Isabel. We had, in the process of adoption, we had Austin and Tana in our life, and we had foster children in our home, and we were blessed with something we were told never could happen, that we were never going to be able to have children, that we were infertile. I shared that with the congregation last week. And then all of a sudden, Aaron was pregnant, and in the process, we were going to be delivering Isabel into this world. And I remember the birth itself was a little bit of a struggle. She started off in the normal birthing room, and things were seemingly going okay. And then all of a sudden, it just wasn't happening like we thought it was going to happen. And so we moved into the surgical area, and they rushed Aaron in for a C-section. I remember standing next to Aaron, holding her hand, and with joy and a smile on my face as they opened Aaron up, and they brought out this baby. And right away, I knew something wasn't right. And I could look at the doctors, and the doctors looked at me, and just a quiet went over the room, so much so Aaron, I remember, asked me, "Is everything okay?" because she couldn't see. I was standing there, and I could see. And I didn't know. I didn't have an answer to that. All I know is the doctors ran off with Isabel as soon as they got her out of there, and it was so quiet until I heard Isabel cry for the first time in the back room. And Aaron heard Isabel cry for the first time, and I remember we just gripped each other's hands because we knew that we were in for a ride that we had not expected in that moment. What an awesome opportunity that we had in that moment to receive our newborn child into this world that God had blessed us with. We found ourselves, in my mind, struggling between celebration and also fear and concern and wondering what was going to happen. How are we going to do this? I remember going home that night, just kind of in a daze and a little bit confused. I was going home to be with our other children, and Aaron remained at the hospital to heal, and so we were separated for that night. I remember my dad and my brother, we sat down and watched a movie, and I was kind of in an out-of-body experience. It's kind of like things were happening in slow motion. I was kind of punched in the solar plexus trying to catch my breath. And then the next day, woke up to this reality that we never had expected. A brand new daughter, but a brand new daughter that had significant complications that we knew nothing about. Would she be okay? How are we going to do this? What's next? And friends, it's in these moments where we hold on to hope, isn't it? It's in these moments where we hold on to hope. Like the two Marys, the Marys on Sunday morning who wake up, and while all of the other disciples remain hiding and in fear and despair, while all the male disciples remain in hiding and in fear and despair, the ladies get up the gumption to go to the tomb. Can we give it up for the women folk in life? I mean, praise be to God. Guys, you want a richer marriage? Give it up right now for the women folk. I'm telling you, God is good. Praise God. Ladies, you lead us in so many powerful ways spiritually. And in some cases, ladies, you are leading your household while you're waiting on your husband to kind of get with it, friends. And so Mary and Mary, they boldly venture out and they visit the garden tomb. In the Bible, in Luke chapter 24, the Bible says the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Remember, that tomb was seated. It was sealed. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" One of the greatest questions ever asked in all of human existence. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Because he's not here. He is not here. He is risen. Friends, three words that changed life as we know it, and it is the three words that is the foundation of the faith that we have. He is risen. The angel goes on and says, "Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." And then the Bible says, then they remembered. Then they remembered. They remembered his words. You see, friends, when all had seemed lost, against all of the odds, a preferred future was seemingly so dark now, they discovered that hope is alive because Jesus is alive. Hope is alive because Jesus is alive. Those three words carry us in faith like it carried Mary and Mary back to the disciples to share that good news. He is risen. And the angel said, go back and tell everybody. Jesus said, when they ran into him in the garden, go back and tell everybody that I am risen. I am alive. And they carried that news back to the disciples. He is risen. That's why there's always reason to hope, friends. There's always reason to hope in Jesus Christ. When things look their darkest and all seems lost, when life feels like it's punched us in the gut, we hold on to hope in Jesus Christ because God is not dead, friends. God is not dead. He is alive. I want you to look at somebody right now and say, he is risen. Look at the person next to you right now and say, he is risen. Look at the person on the other side of you and say, he is risen. And let's all shout it out together right now, those three words. Ready? One, two, three. He is risen. Praise be to God. Happy Easter, everybody. Happy Easter. You see, friends, in Jesus, hope is always alive. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we know about Jesus' hope. He is our living hope. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that could never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. And in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Oh, friends, things may seem dark now, But his mercies are made new in the light of the morning. And as the darkness of night fades, joy and hope come with the light of the morning. I remember that next morning waking up into a new reality of a brand new daughter and a growing family, and also challenges and complications that I knew nothing about. I hurried off to the hospital that morning to first check in on Aaron and then go up to the PICU and check in on my newborn daughter and to see Isabel. And I remember when I was sitting there at her crib side, and Aaron couldn't make it up there because she was recovering down in her hospital room. I remember that Dr. Guy came by, and then Dr. Del Castro. Dr. Del Castro was the doctor on call there that day, and Dr. Guy is the doctor that Aaron saw until he was there to help Aaron give birth to Isabel. And Dr. Guy, he said, I stayed up all night. Dr. Del Castro, they said, I stayed up all night researching this and trying to figure out, because nobody had any idea. Nobody knew that this was coming. We knew that we had a wonderful young lady coming, but we didn't know the challenges that were coming. And so I remember in that moment him looking at me and saying, you know what, everything is going to be all right. We have a plan. Everything is going to be all right. We have a plan. And we're going to get her down to Cincinnati Children's, and they're going to be caring for her, and she may need surgery right away, and we're going to look at that. And I just knew people were praying, and we were receiving encouraging messages, and we were praying and clinging to each other, Aaron and I, in hope. And the darkness of shock and despair was quickly turning into faith and joy that morning. Now, we knew it was going to be a long and difficult journey, but the light of Christ and the light of hope was with us and carried us and guided us through all of those trials and challenges, some 15 or 16 surgeries later, and just challenges on a regular basis early on. And praise be to God, we are where we are today. You see, friends, when there seems like there is no way, in Jesus, God always makes a way. God always makes a way. He'll make a way when things seem dark. He is a light. And when things seem dead, he'll bring resurrection. Friends, hope is alive because, well, he is alive. And he is with us. You see, when life gets dark, we have a choice to make. We can run away from God. We can run away from others. And like the disciples, we can shut ourselves out and shut ourselves up, or shut ourselves in a room somewhere. We can feel sorry for ourselves or despair in things and convinced that hope is lost. You know, we're never going to get that job, or we're never going to make it without them. Or we're going to wind up in a roadside ditch somewhere. Or you know what, we just need to give up on faith because things aren't happening the way that we'd pictured. Or maybe we can respond like Mary and Mary did. We can get up and we can go. We can get up and we can go to Christ Jesus and find strength and courage, knowing in our faith that hope is alive because he is risen. And if God can defeat death, there is nothing that he can't do. Oh, there's reason for us to be oh so hopeful, friends. There's reason for us to be oh so hopeful. So where are you looking for answers of hope? Just two quick thoughts. Where are you looking for answers of hope? Are you looking for life among dead things of this world? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? The angel asked. So number one, first thought, put your hope in God, not the world. Simple stuff, but profound, because some of us are still stuck there. Put your hope in God, not the world. Put your hope in things that last, eternal things. And the question is your hope in the government? Is your hope in yourselves? Is your hope in the CDC or the stock market? Is your hope in your 401k or your upcoming vacation, whatever it might be? It may sound good, and none of those things are necessarily bad things, but they are not a lasting hope. At some point in time, they have a shelf life, and they're going to perish, and they will run out, and they will disappoint us. You see, this world will not live up to the expectations that it promises to fulfill. The excitement from a new purchase, it's going to wear off, usually by the 26th of December. The excitement of it wears off, right? People will let us down. We can't take stuff with us when we die. Our spiritual enemy and the things of this world are going to make false promises that just they can't deliver on. Just like fake crab dip can't deliver on the real thing. You guys ever go to the supermarket and you see crab dip? Now there's a reason why it's $5 a pound, okay? It's not real crab. Did you guys know that? It's not real crab in there. And I'm telling you, it's an utter disappointment. I remember the first time I spotted it in the grocery store. This is great. Crab dip, $5 a pound. That's awesome, because crab is usually like $20, $25 a pound. I'm buying three or four of these things and bringing it home. And then I dipped the cracker in it. And all of a sudden, you know, in the midst of the flavors that were decent was these huge chunks of flesh that looked like a fish that was formed to maybe look like a crab and maybe flavored to taste like a crab, but it was not crab. It was a false and fake crab that I did not expect. And so in other words, I found myself buying into a promise, and I received one thing rather than the thing that I thought I was going to get, and it was an absolute disappointment. Now I just take it for what it is and enjoy it for what it is, that I get to bring something home for $5. Praise be to God. And it's a little bit flavorful. Praise be to God. So I've lowered my expectations. But you see, our enemy promises all kinds of things in this world that he can't deliver on, like he did for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, right? When innocence was lost and sin entered into the world, because he taunted them and said, hey, listen, he tempted them. He said, don't listen to God. Go ahead and eat the fruit from that forbidden tree. God said, you can have everything else in the garden, just don't eat from this one. And it's going to be pleasing to you. It'll be desirable. You'll have the wisdom of God. You'll have a better life, Satan said. And Adam and Eve, they bought into it and wound up broken in sin, and innocence was lost. And since this very day, friends, as sin entered into the world, we've been battling flesh and blood and sin ever since that. So friends, don't buy what the enemy in the world is selling. It's fake and it's false. It's a false hope that leads to disappointment. Friends, many of you remember the most recent Super Bowl that just happened a few months ago. Right, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won the Super Bowl title, but even more of a storyline was the quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Tom Brady. Right? Now, Tom Brady, here's a guy, he's won now 7 Super Bowl titles with 2 different teams, and it doesn't look like he's going to slow down. This man has everything that the world would say would be a successful life. He has money, he has fame, he's kind of treated as a football god, an icon. He's recognized everywhere he goes. Yet in an interview, he would make this statement: there's got to be more than this. There's got to be more than this. You see, he's been eating in the bowl of crab dip only to realize that as you dip in the cracker, it may not be exactly what it bills itself to be. Here's a guy who's achieved all that the world has to offer, and he's still not satisfied, friends. Hear that. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 reads, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Friends, only God can provide a lasting hope that delivers on his promises. And we need to decide today to receive the real deal, to receive the truth, the one and only living God, with a total buy-in of living our life, throwing everything in our life that is holy and pleasing to him, at him, everything that we have, all that we are, because his purpose, it will not disappoint if we throw ourselves at him. If there's anything else in the last year that we have been taught, it is that hope in the things of this world will prove false, and they will disappoint us. But a heart filled with God and God's eternal purpose is a hope that will not disappoint. So friends, put your hope in God, oh, not in the things of this world. Second thought, remember the promises of God. Remember the promises of God. Remember the angel said to Mary and Mary, why are you still looking for Jesus in the grave? He told you guys 3 different occasions, the Bible tells us in the Gospels. 3 different times Christ predicted that he was going to suffer, that he was going to die, and on the 3rd day he was going to be raised from the dead. Those are his words. And the people were walking among him and they still struggled to believe. They were surprised to find the tomb empty. They expected to find the stone remaining. They expected to find the body there. They had forgotten the promises of God. And friends, it's so easy for us to do the same. It's so easy for us to forget the promises of God when things don't go as we'd hoped. And God provides a miracle and we seem surprised that he did. Well, of course, God promised it. He's able. He's capable. And so, friends, we find ourselves forgetting the very promises of God. This is why we need to be in his word. This is why we need to know it in our hearts as a constant reminder of the hope that we have in the promises of God. And that's so when discouragement comes, temptation to buy into fake crab dip comes our way, we can remember that we are people of the empty tomb. We are people of a rolled away stone, We are people of an empty grave. There is no body to be found. He is alive. He is risen. And because of that, he's with us. We have promises from God that he's never going to leave us or forsake us, that all things are in his hands. He is always working, that all things are possible for him who believes, that we have an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade, that is kept in heaven for us. And in faith, we are shielded by the very power of God. So let's not look for the living among the dead. Let's not look to the things and the dead things of this world. But let's remember these three words. He is risen. And let's look to him. Let's live like the tomb is empty, rather than living like the body of Christ is still laid to rest and can be found somewhere. Because for more than 2,000 years, they have not been able to discover the body of Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you today, if they ever discover the body of Jesus Christ, I'm out. I'm out. It's what everything is based on, right? Everything of our faith is based on Christ crucified and raised from the dead, but they won't find him because we have a promise from God that he is alive and well. And if you'll open up your heart to God and Jesus Christ, oh, you'll find him. He'll enter into your heart like something you've never experienced before. And so I want to encourage you to allow yourself to be found because God is on a search for you. You don't have to search very far. He's right there waiting for you. All you have to do is receive him into your life. He is alive and well, with an inheritance that's never going to spoil or fade or perish. He's going to return someday, and he's going to take us all up to heaven to be with him for those who believe. And the Bible says, in faith, we are shielded by God's very power, by faith in the resurrection. Praise be to God. So, friends, let's not look for the living among the dead. I remember walking through all of the challenges and trials of my wonderful daughter, Isabel, and all the struggles and trials that she's been able to overcome. I remember that night when Aaron and I were in the surgery room and holding her hand, and what I remembered was, just as a reflexive action, not even consciously maybe doing it, I started re-psalming Psalm 23. And you know, Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then you get to that place where it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And I just remember in that moment of darkness and uncertainty and being scared and not knowing what was going on, my reflexive action was to turn to the Word of God and to remember his promises to be my comfort, to be Aaron's comfort as our source of strength. And friends, as I remembered his promises, I was filled with a hope and a faith and a joy over the coming days and coming weeks and coming months as we walk through trials and struggles. And every day since, friends, every day since her birth, it has been a reminder that God is not dead and that hope is alive because God is alive and well. And so God has given us a touch of Jesus with her in our life. At 16 years old, she is a light and lights up every room that she walks into. And it is a reminder to us of the glory of God and his incredible blessings and how he comes through 10 times out of 10 and how God always makes a way. God always makes a way, friends. Today is Easter. It's a reminder that he is risen and the tomb is empty and that hope does not disappoint because Jesus is alive. Hope is always alive. So let's not go for the false and fake hope like the world wants to offer. He is the real deal. And let's look after Jesus because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Praise be to God. Friends, here's some action steps and then we'll be done. In dark times, whatever dark time you're going through right now, and you might be able to think of it, get up and cling to hope. Get up because Jesus got up. Jesus got up out of the grave. He's raised from the dead, and the same power that raised Jesus from the dead can strengthen us and raise us up as we cling to hope in Christ. Number two, seek Jesus for answers of hope. Seek Jesus for answers of hope, and watch what he does as he fulfills you like nothing else possibly can. And then third and finally, be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have. Oh, friends, it's always just one word away from blessing somebody with the hope of Jesus Christ, that we would share Christ with others. To say, what is the reason for why you're so hopeful? What is the reason for why you're so joy-filled? You say, oh, it's just one name, and it's the name of Jesus Christ. He's washed away all my sins. He's been raised from the dead, and the same power that raised him from the dead lives in me, and I give God all the glory and praise. Friends, that will preach. And that will change and transform lives. And so let me encourage you to do that on this Easter Sunday. Friends, will you pray with me? Lord God, we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for this day of days. Not a day we had to wait for you to be raised from the dead. You did that more than 2,000 years ago. But a day that we mark as a day to remember. To remember what you've already done. To be reminded of the victory you've already won. And so God, today we reach out to you and say we need you. And maybe somebody watching online or listening via phone call or live here and in person is ready to just reach out with their heart and to say, God, in Jesus Christ, I need you. I can't do this life on my own. I'm broken. I recognize my sinful nature. I recognize you died on the cross for me. I recognize that because you were raised from the dead, you give me access to a power that is well beyond myself. And so, Lord God, we just reach out to you right now and we ask you to enter into our hearts if that's where we're at, and to hand you the keys of the wheel and put you in the driver's seat. And to say, Lord God, would you guide and lead my life for the rest of my life? I want you to be Savior, and I want you to be my Lord. And I'm ready for the ride of a lifetime, God. And God, in the midst of our darkness and despair, God, we're going to put our hope in you. In the midst of our struggles where things seem uncertain, where we find ourselves nervous or broken as a result of things happening around us, we're going to put our hope and our trust in you. And so, God, fill our hearts. Fill this place. Fill our communities, this nation and world with the power of your Holy Spirit, unlike anything else, Lord God, unlike anything other, that you'd bring revival and renewal into our hearts and our spirits, that you'd give us the spiritual smelling salts to wake up to your empty tomb and the reality that it's the greatest news ever given humankind. And let it not be so normative in our life that we forget that he is risen. He is risen indeed. We pray all this in your name, the name of your Son, Jesus. And everybody said together, amen and amen. Hey, friends, we've got a wonderful closing song to sing. I want to invite you to stand right now as we sing.